What is going on, everybody? Jamie Shaw here on the Absolute Basketball Podcast. Very excited for today's guest. We have Wofford head coach Jay McCauley on the show with us today. We get to go through Jay and his rise, his rapid rise to being a mid-major Division I head coach. We get to talk about his ESPN 40 under 40 accolade. We get to talk about his team, what they're looking forward to, and we get to talk about his time as a player at the University of Georgia as a captain on the team, and all the coaching influences and everything under the sun. Very excited for you guys to get to listen to. It's very informative and all that. But before we get into it, ask the normal, if you would please go ahead and subscribe to this podcast. If you would please rate it 5 stars. And if you would please leave it a comment what you enjoyed about the podcast, that would be awesome. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate you guys going ahead and jumping in and doing that for us. The subscribing and the rating 5 stars and all that really helps us in our ranking and really helps us get these coaches' stories out to more people. So if you would please rate 5 stars, if you would please subscribe, and if you would please go ahead and leave a little review as to what you enjoyed about it, that would be great. But without further ado, here is Wofford head coach Jay McCauley on the Absolute Basketball Podcast with Jamie Shaw. Thank you guys very much. What is going on, everybody? Jamie Shaw here on the Absolute Basketball Podcast. Very excited today to have Wofford head coach Jay McCauley. Come on, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Jamie. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Has it kind of worn in yet? I know you've been there for a year, but to be called the head coach of Wofford, I mean, has that sunk in yet?
Yeah. We obviously, first year is quite a blur. You don't really have time to do much of anything. But, you know, obviously the last couple months had a chance to reflect on a really good year and a good start. And, I got a lot to be thankful for sure.
So, obviously, during these last 6 to 8 weeks and whatnot, we've been in quarantine and everything and trying to figure out how to make a new normal and stuff for ourselves and personal lives. What shows can we easily say the McCauleys have been watching on Netflix throughout this quarantine time?
Oh, it's all Disney Plus. You know this, man. In your situation, you don't have any shows anymore. It's all TikTok galore and Disney Plus. So, I've watched Frozen 2. I don't know how many times, and I find myself humming along with it, which is a bad sign and a reason I've seen it so much. But we're enjoying time with the family. I've got almost a 5-year-old and a 6-month-old daughter, so it's nuts at the McCauley's house. And God bless my wife. You know, in the season, you don't really see that all the time, and to be immersed into that, I know as coaches, we sometimes take that for granted, but seeing that up close and in person, it's been really neat to see.
And how great is that Disney Plus thing? Like, obviously, that's a new one. It came out perfect timing for quarantine and everything, but how great of a tool is that?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, they got stories for everything and different stuff here and there. It's been great for my daughter.
Absolutely. So, transition back over a little bit, I guess, to you. You played at Georgia. You were a co-captain your senior year there under Dennis Felton. What type of player were you?
Not much of a player. You know, you got your dreams when you go to college, right? That you think you're going to be the starting point guard on an NCAA tournament championship team. And my first year was with Coach Herrick, who won a national title at UCLA. And let's just say I learned pretty quickly that my playing days were going to be limited. But it was a great way for me to see, you know, Jarvis and Jonas Hayes were on that team. And a bunch of NBA talent, Damian Wilkins, Rashad Wright. Mm-hmm. And I got to see up close in person, like, what a real Division I superstar looks like and what winning really means at that level. Mm-hmm. And Coach Herrick was phenomenal with that. I think we were ranked 2nd in the country my first year. And I was like, man, I can get used to this. I just got to get good grades and, you know, be a good practice player. But then some things happened, Jamie. And I found myself having to play a little bit, which was not a good sign for Georgia basketball. But, you know, as Felton got his players in and, you know, that was built up a little bit more and more, you know, my role went more from just playing some to just more of a captain and a guy on the team that could be a voice as an older guy. So I played point guard. I could shoot a little bit, but I was lacking in athleticism and speed and all the other necessary things you need to be a good one player.
So I guess right after your playing career, you jumped in to be a manager at Georgia as well. And, you know, you're part of that 2008 tournament team and all that type of stuff on the bench as a manager. Was coaching kind of always in the cards for you?
Yes. I was I grew up in a real competitive household, like a lot of us did. And my dad coached me throughout youth sports. And he was the first one that I just really idolized, and my older brothers too. So that kind of started me on that path. And then my high school coaches in Georgia, there's a ton of good high school coaches. But Pat Abney and Coach Baumgarten were my high school coaches. We went really far in the state tournament. That kind of led me to Georgia. And then fortunate enough for me, after I graduated, I got asked to stay on as a graduate assistant manager. And that second year I was there, we had that tornado experience, which was nuts. But we rallied around each other, and it had some similarities to this year with my team. And guys just kind of got hot at the right time, and we did something really, really special that we'll always remember.
And then, so you mentioned your dad and stuff. Who were some of the coaching influences that you had, you know, coming up? Your dad, you mentioned a couple of high school coaches in Georgia and stuff. Who were some really guys that kind of pounded into it, and what were some takeaways that you had from those guys?
Yeah, I mean, those were obviously the ones in my childhood. And then, you know, when you go off to college, you know, sometimes who you work for and who you play for is decided for you a little bit, you know, especially in today's climate. And it's just unbelievable how much I've been blessed in my path with Coach Herrick, one of the best coaches I've ever been around. Coach Felton, who won at the mid-major level and then won a championship at Georgia, and to see it done a different way. Like, it was an internship for me, Jamie. Like, threw me right into the middle of how things should be done. And I got to pick and choose some things that I wanted to do moving forward. And then a championship at Georgia led to my first job with Young, who I didn't know from anybody. And to have that as my first job in the second year being there with Mark Prosser, Paul Harrison, some coaches that you just already know when I say those names, they're associated with winning wherever they go. It's just funny how all of our paths crossed at that moment. And to win our first title at Wofford together, and to see what Coach Young has done with Wofford and now at Virginia Tech, and to see how he handled things, it was phenomenal. And then after 2 years there, I went to Gardner-Webb with Holtman, first-time head coach. Got to be with a guy that was a first-time head coach. So I got a chance to see how that was done. Then I went to Furman, Nico, first-time head coach, Nico Medved. And we turned those programs around, Jamie, which I was really proud of, with the hard work and bringing in the right people on the boat, and just seeing how they managed things and maybe wish they would have done some things differently. Mm-hmm. All of those little things across my path, I was able to kind of nitpick at those things, if that makes sense. So coming back to Wofford, Jamie, and seeing how much Young was different, but his values never changed, how much people respected him, players, coaches, it was really cool to come full circle and see that as well. And obviously we had our most successful year ever 2 years ago. So,
and I want to jump into that. And I want to jump into that too, that year, but you brought up something very interesting to me too, is the staffs that you were on. I want to touch on the head coaches in a second, because great head coaches, but the staffs you were on are future head coaches. Obviously you said Mark Prosser, you know, Takeo Siddle, you know, Bob Ritchie, and, you know, various guys throughout your path, you were on staffs with guys, and, you know, obviously yourself being one too. What does that mean? And how did that kind of grow you, kind of an iron sharpened iron kind of way, being on every step of the way with coaches like that?
That's a great question. I don't think I've ever been asked that before. But it makes you realize how lucky and fortunate you are. You know, our circumstances, you know, some are good and some aren't. And, in life, and I've certainly been lucky to be on different types of staffs with really different personalities and values and ideas. It's helped to shape me significantly. And as you know, being around people like that, it challenges you to grow. And I just remember being a fly on the wall my first couple of years as a assistant at Wofford. I'm like, I'm listening to Paul Harrison and Mark Prosser and Mike Young debate. I'm like, man, these guys are good, you know? And obviously, it impacted our team in a big way. Now you see Siddle, a head coach. You see Coach Ritchie at Furman, a head coach. And there's countless other support staff members that were included in that are now assistants.
Yeah.
So it just speaks to the leadership, you know, and kind of making your own path and learning as much as you can along the way.
And you speak to the leadership, too. Obviously, you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. the head coaches that you've had, Chris Holtman, went on to big time things. Mike Young, big time things. Nico Medved continuing to grow into big time things and all that type of stuff too. What type of stuff did you take away from these coaches each step along the way?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about that. You know, just in my tenure, and Coach Herrick, number one, the complete package, just experienced, could recruit, could relate to players, could impact the program. Donors loved him. I mean, he was fantastic. And Felton was so organized and really meticulous on the details that helped me as an organizer to be more organized and, you know, assertive in some ways. And he, like, willed our team to win. You know, he had such conviction about how he wanted to do things. So I took that from him, and we won in both ways. There were different ways, but we won in both ways. And then Young, I'll get to him last because he's just been an unbelievable mentor to me. But Chris Holtman, very detailed, organized, man of faith, really connected well with the players, could sell his vision to anybody because you just look at him and you believe what he says, and he really, really works hard to figure out answers. He was an ultimate problem solver and competitor. I mean, to change our deal from Gardner Webb to what it is now, to where it was when we first got it, he put everything he could into that deal. And I got to see a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that he put into that that I was really proud of. And obviously he's still doing that at Ohio State and every place he's been at. And then Nico Medved really taught me how to connect with people outside of the program. Like, Furman allowed him to really dive into relationships and get people more excited about Furman basketball that maybe had drifted away. Mm-hmm. And he was really good at connecting people that way. And so all that, I come back to Wofford, and Coach Young is just he's one of those guys you love being around because he's a great teacher. He's a great connector. Guys love playing for him. Mm-hmm. He's a heck of an X and O's coach. He believes in what he's doing, so everybody else believes in it. And I don't know too many guys that graduate 100% of their guys like he did. Like, he excelled in every department and made you feel like you had to bring your best, which I think is a true measure of a great coach and a great leader. And I think he was 5-0 in tournament final games. I mean, just ice in his veins in championship games and games that matter. So really learned a lot from him, and he means a lot to me, and I know he'll do good things at Virginia Tech.
You're the associate head coach for the Wofford team, Fletcher McGee's senior year, that finished top 20 nationally. You know, you were 30-5 overall. You won a game in the tournament. Fletcher was honorable mention All-American. Cam had a great year, lots of accolades and all that kind of stuff. What was the ride like that season? What was it like being on the inside of what was going on there?
Buckle up and enjoy the ride. We had older guys, and, you know, I know coaches that are listening to this, you know, you have a few years in your career, if you're lucky, that just align that way. And we had depth, we had strength, we had shooting, we had skill, we had smart guys, winners, and it just kind of all aligned. And, you know, Coach Young deserves all the credit for managing that and leading that. That's not easy to go 21-0 in any league, yeah, and to do the things we did that year. But the players put in a lot of work, and the internal leadership was the separator, mm-hmm, I thought. In championship teams I've been on, it's always the internal leadership that really separates those teams from the good teams and the average teams. But I also think it speaks, Jamie, to his coaching tree. Mm-hmm. Coach Young's had a ton of people come through his staffs that are successful and head coaches and moved on to different levels, right? And they've all continued to carry on the torch that we carry here as far as bringing really good talent that stays here. We don't have the transfer issues, really, that develops and believes in what we're doing. So there's a lot of guys that brought in those type of players along with our staff that helped us achieve such a really neat season.
And you talk about Mike Young a lot here on this and how big an influence he's been to you. I don't know if important's the word, but how important was it to you that you were the one that got the job after him, after he was the one that gave you your first opportunity and all that kind of stuff? How important is that, or whatever the word may be for that sense, to you?
Yeah, I was humbled, I guess would be the word I would use with all the coaches that have been through here, and you know, some already had opportunities. Maybe that had something to do with it. But listen, that's part of his best trait, is he always puts confidence in his guys. And he said, Jay, you know, you're ready for this. You know, I want you to get it. You got my full support. The players want you to get it. The alumni, the boosters, all that. And he gave me confidence to go after it. And, you know, I'll always be appreciative of that confidence, because, you know, as a leader, as a coach, your players are looking for that confidence, and assistant coaches are looking for that as well. And he's always shot me straight. That's something that, you know, I really respect about him.
And then, you know, it's never easy taking over for a legend. You know, in year one, you did a great job, 19-16 overall. How would you grade yourself looking back on it? I'm sure you've had time to reflect. How would you grade yourself looking back on it, year one?
Yeah, I think I'm a lot harder on myself than maybe others. But there's an expectation here to win, Jamie. And, you know, I knew that taking the job. I knew, you know, how hard it was going to be to follow that act. But I try to remind myself, and my wife does all the time, that, you know, I am who I am. I'm my own personality. I'm not Coach Young. I'm Jay McCauley, that have come from a lot of cool experiences that I think can help our program keep moving forward. And he's obviously had a tremendous impact on me, but I've never tried to separate or shy from the fact that he was here and he had all that success. I want to embrace that. You know, I want our program to continue to win. And we were this close to getting another, you know, Southern Conference championship, 6 in the last 11 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I failed in that, and somehow getting our players to believe that and understand, you know, how to be the best team we could be last year. But I learned a lot. And obviously had a lot of time to reflect, and, you know, just like everybody, we're working hard to try to figure that out for next year, you know? So I'd give myself a C, Jamie, if I had to give myself a grade.
And then what would you say the biggest transition was for you in the adjustment, moving down that chair and becoming the head coach?
Just everything that comes on your plate on a daily basis. You know, you're never prepared for that as assistant. You always want to take things off your head coach if you're a good assistant, right? Mm-hmm. But he keeps a lot of stuff from you that, you know, you're just like, well, he handles that. He's the head coach. And the daily curveballs that come that aren't about basketball, that you've got to make quick decisions on, you know, and how that impacts your team and, you know, the decisions you make with your time management. That was a huge adjustment for me, you know, one that I'm still figuring out. And that work-life family balance, right, Jamie, that's important to me and to my staff, and not always feeling like I got to be in control of every little thing and forget to eat meals and take care of my body. Like, you just, those are reality. And I want to be truthful here, because, you know, I think it's an issue that a lot of coaches deal with. And, you know, those two areas for me, the dealing with the different things outside of basketball and probably how to manage my time in a healthy and safe way was probably the biggest thing for me.
You mentioned the work home life balance and stuff. And I think that's something that we all kind of strive for and everything. How have you been able to find that balance and still be very good and successful moving up in your career?
Yeah, I just think everybody has values. You're going to make time for what you think is important, right, Jamie? And, you know, that's where you got to have a great support system. And my wife had our second child the night of my first game. Mm-hmm. And she's just been an unbelievable mother during the whole season, and I'm trying to find my way, and I'm coming home after a bad practice and she's being supportive. You just got to have that support system. And I think with that support system, they've got to be willing to shoot you straight. Hey, you need to slow down a little bit, you know, and keep you in check and keep you balanced. But I obviously had a great support system with my family, and they would come up to the office, and I want our families to come up to the office and interact. It's important for your players to see that, yeah, that you're human, you know, that you're not a guy that's just yelling at them or telling them what to do all the time. And I think that's important. And that helped a lot to see our players watch me have my daughters around. Yeah. I think made me a lot more human and father-like that I want them to see and learn from, you know. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that answers your question.
Absolutely. Over the past two seasons, Wofford's 25-6 at home. Y'all have this brand new, beautiful Jerry Richardson Center facility, cream of the crop and all that kind of stuff. How important is holding serve at home court to you guys?
It's extremely important. We've got an awesome fan base. It's on campus, that $60 million facility. So students come from fraternity, sorority row, and their our apartments, and they can walk there. So we usually get really good turnouts. And, you know, we've had some home games the last couple of years that have created sellouts, and we've probably had 7 to 10 sellouts the last 3 years since it's open. Mm-hmm. So it creates a natural home court environment for us and an advantage that our guys love playing in front of. And obviously it's a tough place for opponents to come in. And my intention is to kind of keep it that way. Mm-hmm. And we do little things at the end of games, I think, that involve families and the interaction of that, that I think gets the community excited about our players and getting to know them. So it's a full-time environment, I think, for families, students, that isn't really seen in a lot of places for different reasons, right? Mm-hmm. Arena's off campus 10 miles. Well, that's going to be hard to draw to, I think. Yeah. And we're unique that we have a really neat facility on campus that way. So very, very lucky to have that.
So transitioning over to the team stuff, you lose your top two scorers off of last year's team with Nathan Hoover and Chavez Goodwin. First off, before we get into the current stuff, I want to hear, what was it like having those two guys to help kind of transition you in year one and those two players?
Yeah, they were very helpful. Anytime you take over a situation, it's for different reasons, right? You could be taking over a really bad program that doesn't know how to win. You could be taking over a program like ours that has won and returns everybody, or you could be taking over a program that's won and has some of the cast coming back. And we obviously had two starters coming back for the most part, and a couple other seniors that had been around the block. I leaned on them heavily. They were great as far as just teaching the younger guys for the most part and setting a level of expectation in the locker room. And obviously I think that showed the most that last weekend in Nashville. And they had a desperation to win that thing and go out and write their own legacy. And obviously we came up a little short, but you're always going to rely on those older guys that have been through it. And we're certainly going to miss them.
And then talking about the older guys, you return senior point guard Storm Murphy, who started 96 career games at Wofford. What will you be expecting from him this upcoming season?
Yeah. Anyone that's seen Storm Murphy play, he is a one tough nugget, man. He is, you know, I always tell this story. In the NCAA tournament, we're playing Kentucky, and I remember Ashton Hagans being like, yo, is this Storm Murphy? When we get to the tip circle. Yeah. Because he's 5'9", 170 pounds, and by halftime, you know, that second guessing or that, like, shock that, yo, I got to go against this guy. He had his full attention by halftime, and he's never scared. He loves every challenge. He's as strong as he's ever been. The guy's in an elite shape, and he's also a man that I think has grown into become quite a leader. He's very strong in his faith and expressing that to our team and to others on campus. He's very strong at speaking out on things that he thinks are important. Mm-hmm. And he's got a voice, and obviously his actions back that quite a bit. And we'll be leaning on that quite often. You know, I'm biased. I've been around him quite a bit, and I've seen him go up to Chapel Hill and win and put the team on his back. And I've seen him shine at the most crucial moments in the tournaments. And that's just kind of what he's made of. He's a clutch player.
You also returned Trey Hollowell, Ryan Larson, and Messiah Jones, who each played 17 or more minutes per game last year. What type of steps are you expecting these three to make in the offseason heading into next year?
Yeah, obviously their roles are going to have to be elevated with the graduation of other guys, you know, production wise. You know, I think we ranked fifth in the country in most threes made last year, and we graduated a lot of those. But we always, you think of Wofford, you think of tough guys, skilled guys, and smart guys. Mm-hmm. And those guys are certainly capable of doing those things. And the more opportunities they get, I know they're workers. They're going to be prepared for that moment. And I know they're looking forward to stepping into those new roles. Ryan led us in charges. He just had a defensive mindset last year, and he can shoot the ball. And I know he's looking forward to kind of showcasing that. And Trey, you've seen him shoot the ball on different levels. Duke game, he had 5 threes. Seton Hall, he had some crucial threes in the NCAA tournament. So two very experienced guards that I think are going to step up in a big way for us.
So I want to get into the recruiting class here in a second, but during that whole talk, you talked about Seton Hall, you talked about Duke, you talked about UNC, teams that you guys play in the non-conference and everything. The SoCon, as good as it is still kind of a one-bid type of conference.
Yep.
How important is off-season scheduling, or how important is non-conference scheduling to you? Just how important is non-conference scheduling to you?
It's huge. And we probably play more guarantees than anybody in the Southern Conference for a variety of reasons, but a large part is because, you know, Coach Young and what he had here traditionally, as far as nobody really wanting to play him. Mm-hmm. We've always had to play a top 25-ish type schedule in the non-conference. I mean, we played Kansas, Duke, UNC, numerous top 25 teams recently. And we kind of find ourselves being really competitive in those games, which builds confidence, which is a huge deal for me as the head coach. Is number one, you got to play some of those games for your athletic department, obviously, but how are you building your guys' confidence heading into the most important part of the year? Mm-hmm. And if you can hang with those big boys and beat some of those guys, I think you're setting yourself up to have a really strong conference season. And it's always helped us later in the year, I think, playing those games, and that'll kind of continue here, I think, with me being in charge.
So you're bringing in a four-man high school class, guards Max Kleeschmidt and Keaton Turner, and then forwards Nick Pringle and Sam Goodwin, along with USF transfer BJ Mack. Starting with the high school guys, not even that. What were you looking to do heading into this class? What were you looking to accomplish with this class?
Yeah, I mean, we had to get a lot of, you know, pretty much a blender of things, you know. When you lose 65% of your scoring and rebounding 2 years ago, and then you graduate another guy in Hoover who scored 1,500 points, mm-hmm. I mean, production is something you got to bring to the table. So we look for a couple important characteristics that we always look for here. Tough guys, guys that win, and guys that are versatile. And I know those are kind of cliche things to say, and everybody wants to have those things, but every one of those four high school seniors went to the state tournament, shattered individual records at their high school as far as scoring in different ways, and setting new milestones at their high school, leaving a legacy. And I think naturally when they come to us, that'll just continue. And I mean, Max shattered the scoring record at Neenah High School in Wisconsin. We're having a presence in the Midwest just because of the brands getting out there more and our tournament runs and guys loving to come to this part of the country. Mm-hmm. And then we got Nick Pringle here in the state, who we're super excited about. His length, athleticism, versatility. You know this, Jamie. He's just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
And he's
got a chance to be something special.
He does. And then we went out to Oklahoma, and people are like, how are y'all getting out in Oklahoma? Well, Sam's a top five player in that state. He's 6'9", lefty, tough, versatile. And obviously Keaton is a tremendous combo point guard up in the Ohio area, which we've been recruiting pretty well. Mm-hmm. The tough part for those guys was, Jamie, is two of them got pulled from their state tournaments before they could get a state title. And yeah, that was really unfortunate for them.
And then kind of with the BJ Mack transfer and stuff, what were you going out and looking for on him?
Yeah, obviously with Chavez Goodwin graduating and his production, we felt like we had to go out and find a guy with some size and skill. And, you know, Cam Jackson is one of the all-time greats here at Wofford that embodied just guard skills, perimeter skills, as well as a physicality and ability to finish. Mm-hmm. And I think BJ's got a lot of those characteristics. And he's just looking for a place that's going to pour into him, that he can sharpen those skills and showcase those things. And we certainly have a system we think that can do that. So really excited to get him on board too.
Every coach kind of wants to have an identity or a brand with their team. You talk about Jim Herrick, you talk about Mike Young. These guys have, you know, an identity, a clear identity with what they have. What type of identity are you trying to create for this Wofford basketball program?
Yeah, I think that's to be determined. You know, I have my ideas of what I want it to be, but, you know, over time, I think those guys developed a niche, you know, and a reputation. And that has large part to do with your players and their buy-in. And I thought we did a pretty good job of that in year one, instilling, you know, some qualities that were left over by Coach Young and that clearly work, mm-hmm. but also putting, you know, my own little twist into things of playing a little bit faster and still embodying that toughness and that togetherness that you think of when you think of Wofford teams. So, you know, for me, I just always want to be known as a tough team and a team that does things in a first-class way. And if we do those things, we're going to have the right people on board. I think the winning and all the other stuff will take care of itself.
So you were recently voted by ESPN one of the top 40 coaches in the country under 40 years old in college basketball. What does this mean to you?
See this gray hair coming in? I'm getting old. Got streaks. Pandemic the last 2 months, I've been looking in the mirror, I'm like, God, I'm getting old. It's really neat, Jamie. I mean, it just, you know, you hear those things. I know they're coming up with a ton of different rankings during this time to keep everybody busy, but just to be on that list is really, really cool and speaks volumes to our staff. And I don't want to be disingenuous there. I really believe that, like, the staff that I hired is the staff I wanted, and they do a great job of keeping me grounded and helping me in so many different ways. I mean, Will Murphy was on a list last week for 30 under 30, and Dwight Perry, who I know you know, is a rock star and going to be a great head coach one day, and Paul Hemrick, who impacted Gardner Webb after we left to their first title run and tournament run, and Coach Sweeney as well on our staff. All those guys I'm really proud of, and obviously our players have a huge part in that as well. So pretty neat.
Absolutely. It's an unbelievable honor too. And even taking it a step further, your conference, who we talked about before, which is one of the best conferences in the country, had three members on that list. What do you think that says, that type of distinguishment says about the conference as a whole and how really good it is?
Yeah, it's a really good league. You know, there isn't a night where – you're going to feel comfortable going in and getting wins. It's gotten to that level. Everybody thought when Davidson and Charleston and Georgia Southern and App, all those teams left for football reasons or different reasons, that, you know, the SoCon was going to take a dip. Well, it didn't. I mean, it's the 12th or 13th best conference in the country.
Yeah.
And if we lost 2 years ago in our tournament, we were going to get a at-large bid. I mean, nobody ever thought that. So, the last 2-3 years with some of the better teams in our conference, I think we've had three straight years with five teams with 20 wins or more. I mean, are you kidding me? That's phenomenal. And there's a lot of good teams, and it's really created a lot of good rivalries too here moving forward.
So you're only 36 years old, and you're now the head coach of a prominent mid-major program who's got a brand throughout the country and everything. What advice would you give young coaches who are looking to move up the ranks?
Yeah. I've answered this question a couple times just because I'm a first-year head coach, and I know we all aspire to keep improving and keep going up the ladder. And I want to be real genuine here, Jamie. Like, it's as simple as really be yourself, okay? Everybody's trying to put stuff out there about themselves, and that can come off in a wrong way. But I think you just got to be yourself, believe in what your values are, and really try to attract as many high quality people as possible. And everyone's journey is different. my journey was completely different than anybody. Yeah, I was a former player, but I was a walk-on. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to try out, earn a spot over 100 different players to get one spot. And I just kind of kept that mentality everywhere I've been, is to not take shortcuts, work, learn from others. I learned this a lot this year, and it's huge. You got to be really humble, and you got to be thankful. Mm-hmm. You know, tell people around you how thankful you are. Let others help other people in some way, shape, or form. Your players, your staff, and you know, I think it's as simple as that, man. Taking advantage of your opportunity that way, being yourself, and working really, really hard in the event you get that opportunity. And sometimes, hey, I struck out the first two times I was in that opportunity. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it. And I just learned to take those experiences, Jamie, and you know, one day I would get that opportunity. I certainly did, and extremely thankful for it.
So we've been in quarantine now for the last 6 to 8 weeks. And as a program who really, you know, takes time in developing players and developing their guys and having their hands on their guys and stuff like that, how has this kind of affected you, you know, going into your second year?
Yeah, it's definitely been a difference. Everyone's had to adapt. You know, your new favorite toy is Zoom, you know? I mean, you got it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're connecting with players. You're connecting with your staff. You're trying to learn on things like this. And it's a great platform. It really is. And I think there's been a lot of positives as far as creating more meaningful relationships, Jamie, with your team, and, you know, discussing different topics that are going on with them personally or something going on in the country socially that's going on right now. And it's allowed us to have a platform to speak about those things. And we've tried to do things like most programs that's tailored to our system. We'll do a weekly Zoom call and competitions within our strength and conditioning package that I think our guys rally behind and do best of seven series. That's really been fun to watch and be a part of. And then we do some basketball specific things as well with breakout groups. That way, when they do get back to campus, I think they've got some better understanding, especially younger guys. So it's been a way to connect in a different way. And we're just trying to do it as best we can.
So you mentioned the stuff that's kind of going on around the country now. You know, there's been a lot going on in this world. Obviously, the murder of George Floyd recently happening. How have you handled this situation with your team?
Yeah, we've been talking quite a bit, if not daily, Jamie. And again, trying to provide a platform for those guys, our players, to feel comfortable enough to not be comfortable, you know, and speak their mind, share experiences. And it's been eye-opening for me and our staff just to hear guys on our team that were pulled over and things that they're afraid of. And generating some conversation, some meaningful conversation about what we can do on Wofford's campus in our community of Spartanburg. I mean, we're talking with the police chief two or three times this week. Mm-hmm. And he's wanting to come and talk to our team in person on Zoom. And it's just generating, I think, a lot of positive response that I know people are worried if that's going to really hop into meaningful change. But I have no doubt that this has stirred up a really, really necessary movement in the right direction. I've had three players that have come up with their own platforms in their communities to do peaceful protests. I mean, it's an important deal, Black Lives Matter. It's an important deal to understand the social inequalities, the racism going on, and to acknowledge that. And I think as a leader, I have a responsibility to allow our guys to express that in a professional way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like everybody, listening as much as I can and trying to help when I can. And, you know, my staff and I went on a protest in Spartanburg late last week. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not blasting that on social media, but we feel like we're doing something that's important for our guys and for the change that's necessary. And I'm just really proud of our guys that way. And I know a lot of coaches feel the same way.
Yeah, no, you have to be, especially when you see your guys like that stepping up to form protests themselves and do stuff and all that. For me, I'll tell you, it's been very eye-opening too, because I've always thought to myself, oh, not a racist bone in my body and stuff. I think everybody's equal. But now I'm realizing that that's not enough, that I need to take my what I've been afforded and use that to bring everybody, you know, to bring everybody up to the equal platform. And you know, it's been very opening for me these last couple of weeks too. Also to sit back and just listen, like you said, to everything. It's you know, it's I feel like, like you said, this is absolutely necessary change that has to happen, and it's some of it's taken a hold.
Yeah, and we're so busy all the time that this pandemic has allowed everyone to narrow their focus on an issue that needs to change. And I get texts, random texts from my players. Hey, coach, appreciate you really listening to us. Or, hey, coach, I don't know how to vote. Can you help me here? And I know every coach is going through that. And it's just, it kind of reprioritizes what you are as a coach right now. Yeah. And it kind of makes you reevaluate how powerful your position is and what you can do for your team in a lot of different ways. And obviously, I know most coaches don't take that for granted, and I don't either. So
there's been kind of a lot of talk around the NCAA now, not for this year, but next year, coming down with the one-time transfer rule and all that type of stuff. What are your thoughts on that, and where do you kind of stand on that front?
Yeah, I mean, I think every place has their feeling about it. I know at Wofford, we're used to intentionally bringing in guys that fit our system and how we do things. You know, we're different than a one-and-done school, you know. But now this new ruling that's potentially going to happen, you know, if we do have another all-freshman member or a really, really good prospect that has a good freshman sophomore year, you know, giving them the opportunity to jump around and leapfrog. For us, it's not a good thing, obviously. And for us, I can only speak for us. I think it's going to hurt programs like us that are really good mid-major programs, Jamie, that can make noise in the tournament, you know, because you think of Wofford, you think of guys that develop all freshman team, freshman year, all conference sophomore year, player of the year, junior, senior year. Like, that development may be disruptive if this thing passes. And that's just going to have to go into our recruiting. We're going to have to be way more intentional with, hey, we want you here because you love this place and you appreciate it. And we've certainly had those guys in Storm, Fletcher, and Cam. They could have gone other places, but they chose to stay here because they believe in what we're doing.
Yeah. What is the phrase or the mantra that you've kind of set forth for this Wofford program? Is it a year after year thing? Is it one overall overhanging thing? Like, what type of phrase or mantra do you have for the program?
Yeah, we don't really have a mantra. We just always break down with team, you know. It's as simple as that. Everything we do is about the team, and everything we do is how can we impact winning. And the little things that we kind of keep in-house that every team does, you know, we don't always put out there. It's kind of year to year, and some of my teams the last couple of years know what I'm saying about that.
Yeah.
And it always makes them chuckle when we kind of comment on that. But you know, if I were to just generalize it, we always break down every huddle with team, and there's an expectation of winning here. And I think the way we go about it, Jamie, those go hand in hand quite nicely.
And then, kind of wrapping things up here, what can we expect from next season's Wofford Terriers?
Yeah, I think we got a lot more depth. We had to piece that thing together last year in some ways, just with how it shaped out, especially in the post position, Jamie. Mm-hmm. And we were fortunate enough to have not so many injuries that we were able to, I wouldn't say limp to the finish line, but we were running out of gas. So I think you'll see a lot more depth in certain places, which will lead to maybe a little bit more faster pace. Mm-hmm. The best thing we did last year offensively was transition as far as points per possession, but we had to slow the game down a little bit more just due to our depth or lack thereof. So with that depth, I'm excited about the competition that'll create in practice. And obviously, I think they'll see a lot more athleticism and length. We got Morgan Safford, who was medically redshirting last year, so he'll be a freshman that he's been pretty impressive here while he's waited.
That's awesome. Jay, excited for what the future has for you. It's been good to see so far, and you know, been knowing you for a while. So I can't wait to see what these next, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years have in store for you. It's very exciting.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. We'll have to get the kids together sometime, man. Hopefully when this pandemic stuff ends and we can open back up. But appreciate you having me on, and big fan of what you do and who you do it for, and all the respect, man.
I appreciate that, Jay. Guys, thank y'all very much for tuning in on the Absolute Basketball Podcast. For Wofford head coach Jay McCauley, I am Jamie Shaw. We will see you guys next time.